to the pastor that should have. Do you know everybody that's here right now? We on air now? We online? Good. Here we go. We're going to be looking in our Bible, if you will, please, into the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, if you take your Bible and find that. In the book of Acts in chapter number 20. Now, Paul the Apostle is writing, and it's a letter sent to Ephesus and from Miletus, and that's where he was at the time. And he's testifying both to the Jews and to the Gentile, to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, chapter 20, book of Acts, if you're able to stand, let's look in verse 27. Verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel, all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now, I'll tell you right now, I'm the overseer in this church, and I'm not the overseer over all of them in the world. I'm the overseer of this one here. Not every one of them in town, but this one here. Holy Ghost of God made you overseer, and to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, that shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise and speak perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've had and that we've heard tonight. We ask your blessings on all these requests. May you have your will and way in each and every one. Heal the sick, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Save the lost, and we'll thank you for reviving the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. As I preach a little bit for here tonight and in this lesson that we're looking at, it's going to more or less be a Bible church lesson that we're going to be looking at, because the authorities in the church. I've had a lot of people in days gone by that say, well, you know, preacher, we're fixing, my family and I, we're going to be leaving. What do we do about our letter? The church you go to join that's of like faith, you have them contact us so that we'll know and that you made it there and that you're not just out there floating around like deadwood somewhere. And we send it to them. Now, you're sitting here tonight, you may have gotten saved and followed the Lord in baptism in this church. And when you did, it caused you to be added to the church and the church role and the membership of this local church. I've had people tell me one time, they walked down the aisle in Houston, Texas, not here, but they walked down the aisle in Houston, Texas, and a man said something like this here. He said, I want to be saved, but I don't want to be joining this church. I said, well, I don't know what you mean by that. Well, I don't want to follow the Lord in baptism in this church because I don't know if I want to be a member here. Well, if you get baptized, sir, you're going to be a member, and that's how the Lord adds unto the church, and therefore it's not your call. If you're saved and submitting to the word of the Lord, then what you're doing is you're submitting to the overseer and the sight of me as a pastor and this congregation as a church. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, everybody that's here, I can look across here. You got saved. You came down the aisle, and you got saved. You were baptized and added to the membership of this church. Some of you that have come from outside the church, and whenever you came forward, depending on if you needed baptism or not, but if you came forward and wasn't sure about where you was coming from, then you came by statement. You either came by letter, they're in good standing, or you came by statement. And do you realize at all that every time that anybody ever comes forward, I don't just leave you dangling out there. I remember whenever Brother Matlock was alive, he's dead and gone now, but I remember when he was alive. If one of his members were to come and try to visit, I called him up to find out what's going on. Didn't try to swoop him up and scoop him up. I contacted him. And if everything was fine, then we went ahead and moved in accordance to that church. In fact is, you're going to find that there's not a person in here that came from without that I did not contact whoever you used to go to church with and whoever was pastor. Brother John, whenever he came forward, I contacted and said, John Patterson, and of course his wife Eve at the time, have united with our church. Please remove them from your church role. I do that every time. What do you think when we got here and in this place right here where we are right now? You think we didn't let people from Bethel know that we are leaving Bethel Baptist Church and that we are organizing a church here? And as a result of that, well, sure we did. Sure, they didn't have to wonder where's the congregation go? I don't know, but I bet they're all right, and they're big boys and big girls, know how to do it on their own. No, that's not your responsibility. This Bible said that you and I have an overseer, and of course, in that case, you know, it's going to be the pastor. Now, we're going to look at several things here tonight, but I want to tell you the reason why that God has got some particulars about that. You ever been to a church before, and it was business meeting night, and they had a bunch of deep people that were on the roll from 10 or 20 years ago and that hadn't been to church in God knows how long. They've only showed up to help vote a preacher out. You ever see that or hear of that? Well, if you hang around long enough, you will. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that it happens in the SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, the BMA, the Baptist Missionary Association, the ABA, the American Baptist Association, and whatever other breeds of Baptists that there are that are out there, make no mistake about it. There's a many one. I remember one time, and the first time that ever happened to me, and they got a bunch of people up, and I said, hey, how are you doing? It's good to have you tonight. Well, I'm a member of this church. Well, how long have you been a member here? 6 months? 7 years since I was a little girl? Well, you hadn't been for the last 6 or 7 months, because I've been here that long. I've never laid eyes on you. I got to tell you right now, it's an eerie feeling. I had a church one time going to vote me out, and they had all the other scabs they could get, and they brought in skanks. And I was hoping they could. You know, if you vote me out, even if you miss God, I hadn't got to give an account of that. I mean, I had a preacher call me one time and said, well, they voted me out. I said, thank God, and shout and run the aisles. You ain't got to pray about leaving. They've done cut out God, and they've decided to go ahead and take that responsibility upon themselves. I want to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into this lesson, I've seen it whenever they absolutely, I remember up in Grand Saline, First Baptist Church that was there. And, man, you know about some evil people, some wicked. There were some good people there, but, boy, there were some devils that were there. And worse than that, buddy, I had a whole crew of the Masonic Lodge. I call them bastard Baptists for easy remembrance. But the cigarette-smoking preacher that we had been there 7 years. He'd stand out and smoke cigarettes with a bunch of men out there on the front yard of the church. And boy, I'd go visiting in the community there and invite, are you the one that pastors that church that looks like it's burning down every Sunday morning? I said, I hate to say it, but I am. I just want to say all of that to be able to say this, is that the night they voted, I said, we're going to go ahead and vote. If you're not ashamed of yourself and ashamed of your vote, we're going to vote. And everybody, and I can't remember, but everybody that wants me to leave, you're on this side, get on this side right here. Everybody wants me to stay and feels like they'll just wait on God for that, get on this side right here. And boy, it got deathly quiet. And I said, if you're not ashamed of what you're voting on and do it, then you ought to go ahead and do it openly. Especially a serious matter like this. Man, they were some of them people went to move into my side, and this side was getting thinner, and some of the Masonic Lodge bunch was getting over here on that side. And they said, hey, don't you see what he's trying to do? Don't get over there on his side. You better get. And I heard a man, one of them Masonic Lodge, he must have been saved, for he was ignorant about the lodge, and said, no, sir, I am not going with the lodge against the Lord. I can tell you that right now. And as a result of that, you'll find out they were real disappointed. I was disappointed. I thought, well, here we go. It's back. The ball's in my park again. I want to say to you that, if you will, there have been a lot of church problems up and down the road of life. I've seen a whole bunch of them, from everything to which way the toilet paper ought to be able to turn, to the color of the curtains that we're going to have. I mean, just some nonsensical junk that goes on in the church of God. It ought not to be, and ought not to ever entered into the house of God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that over there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we don't have to turn to each one of these places, but you can if you like, but in chapter number 5, there was a man there that was a young man that was having an affair, committing fornication, if you will, adultery, fornication, however you want to term it. I know adultery is, you know, sex inside of a marriage, it isn't yours, and fornication is outside of marriage, but the bottom line was that the crime was still the same. And they didn't get rid of that man out of their congregation. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, they brought it out, and here's what he says in verse number 1. It is reported commonly there's fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Now, that's not even named among the Gentiles, the heathen world, the non-religious world, if you please. You don't hear stuff like that. And he said, and yet you're puffed up, and you have not rather mourned, and he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. Now, let me say that just so you'll know this. What they did was, is that they have the power, the authority. I'm preaching about the authority of the local church. They had the authority to excommunicate and to put that person out of that body. And God goes on, if you read the rest of it, if they did not want to take and put him outside the body, then it's going to contaminate the whole body. And as a result of it, it's going to make sin run rampant. In fact is, if you do not put it out of your body, then God says he won't judge them. If you put them outside the body and you've made your judgment, now God's about to make his. If you read, and we'll not take time, but over in the book of 2 Corinthians, in about chapter number 1 or so, that man that had been excommunicated, he said he's wanting to back in and wanting to be forgiven, and he's been so forth and on, chastened, afflicted, or whatever of many. But now it's time to go ahead and have some compassion. If he showed some repentance, obviously he did, and to be welcomed back in. In the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you'll find is that everyone in this building ought to have God to vouch for you. And the way God does that is by a letter of commendation, or by a statement that you're going to confess him, or by baptism that you've not yet followed the Lord in. That's the notification. I've had some folks that have left in days gone by. And just to give you an example, I'm not going to reiterate on all of it, but sometimes I had a church that has wrote for a letter. And I said, okay, this person is in the church. His wife is good, but he loves the liquor bottle more than he does the Bible. But it's your request. We don't want to keep that on our roll. It's your request. We're dropping him from our roll to be a part of your congregation. That's the way you do business like that. I've had a lot of time people had a letter that was granted that was, I'm talking about, you would think that he was Ahab and she was Jezebel. What a sad day that is. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 3, do not turn there, verse number 21, unto him be glory in the church. Now, you know, we got a church covenant back there on the wall. I don't know if you ever took time to just read it, but you ought to every now and again. And what it says on that back there is that one of the things is that you will abstain from the sale or the use of alcohol, beverages, and so forth and on. It also states as soon as you leave this church that you will, as soon as possible, unite with a church of like faith. So you're not just out there floating around here and there and young, because as a result, we have to give an account to God for you. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you don't have to turn there, but you can, verse number 1 through 3, The Bible said upon the first day of the week, whenever you come together, and he talked about tithing, and he talked about the time that you're to meet together, first day of the week. And he talked about that and the offerings and so forth that ought to be given. Do you remember over in Malachi chapter 3 and about verse number 8? Whenever he asked and told the people that you've robbed God and or that they had gotten crossways and they wasn't right with God, and they wanted to know, well, where have we sinned? What have we done? And that's why Malachi asked the question, chapter 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? And boy, it got quiet, nearly as quiet as it is here tonight. But as a result, that's good, because let me say to you that in Ephesians, you can look there now for real quickly. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter number 4, there's a passage or two that we ought to look at there. Ephesians chapter 4, look in verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And the reason being, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then he warns about every wind of doctrine in the next passage. I want to say to you that, if you will, over in the book of Matthew in chapter number 18, we're talking about the authority of the local church. We've lost that in the day we live in. I can't tell you how many people in 50 years that I've seen, you know, that all of a sudden, you know, they were footloose and fancy free and had no bars hold on them. Let me tell you right now, God better have a hold on you. And in this lesson here that you're looking at, we're to submit one to another. Do you realize, I know, that in the book of Matthew, chapter number 18, look at the passage there, Matthew chapter 18, and the Bible said in verse number 15, as we look into it, in 18, verse number 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between him and thee alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. And if he shall not, shall neglect to hear them, who? These witnesses he just mentioned. Then tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, and let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you that whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you that two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall be asked, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, here's some passages that are here that shows the binding authority that God looks at on the church, that he gave the church. And do you realize at all that we're to be maintained in harmony in the church of the living God? And here's the recipe of how you can do it. So before you go to saying, well, I can't stand her, well, you better get it straight. Well, I don't like him, well, you better get it straight. God's looking and God's listening. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out that over there in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 5, that the Bible said that God gave in concerning pastors, and as a result of that, we have a responsibility. Remember over in Hebrews in 13, whenever he talked about that the pastor is going to give an account to God for everybody in his congregation? Well, yes, he will. Yes, he will. I was thinking about, let's just use Dylan to be a bad guy. Is it all right if I use you to be a bad guy? No, yes or no? Yeah, sure. So, because you're not guilty, so here we go. But you know, every now and again, you know, there's people rise up in your own congregation, go to trying to pull people out. Let's just say that Dylan here decides to pull Gianni out. Can I use you as an illustration? If you don't like it, you can hit Dylan. No. But let's just say, for instance, Dylan goes ahead and proselytes and Gianni to be able to leave. And that's fine. He likes him real good. He's paid him real good. He's not going to leave Dylan. But if you do that, son, then here's what you can't sing no more. You can't sing, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. You know why? Because you're following Dylan. And you're going to have to start singing, follow, follow, I will follow Dylan. Nobody likes to hear that, do they? Especially those that are following somebody else. I want to say unto you that if you will, please, is that in 1 Timothy in chapter number 5, there's a passage we're going to be looking. And in 1 Timothy in chapter number 5, and about verse number 1 and 2 is what we're going to be looking at. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, and the younger sisters with all purity. Honor widows with her widows indeed, and so forth and on. Over in Hebrews in 13, the Bible said you're to obey them that have spoken to you the word of the Lord, as they must give an account to God for you. In the book of Titus, the Bible says in chapter number 1, by the way, thank you, that's much now, y'all are back here again now, so here we go. But in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 4, down through 9, he said, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace and mercy and peace in God from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. And then he gives you the qualification. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed and not soon angry, but given to wine, no striker, and not given to filthy lucre. I got to tell you right now is that when you begin to look into it, it's a serious matter down at the house of God, and God gave some things to put things in order. Somebody asked me one time, they came to visit the church, and I've had in many times that I've had this asked. Well, let me ask you this here. Are you one of them church, one of them preachers that run everything? I said, no, I don't run anything. But I'm here to make sure nobody else does. Well, that's what we didn't like it because the preacher before. I said, name one biblical thing you didn't like about him. They didn't have one. They just want to be able to have their say. I got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, is that anybody in here can always have their say. We have a closed meeting all the time, and the reason being is because every church that you know that's out there, they've had from 1 to 2 to 10 splits a year. And you know the reason being? I'll tell you why, because I learned in a business meeting growing up after, I don't know, about half of my life, I learned that if a man won't stand up, his wife is going to make him show himself somewhere. I've had men, good men, that hated to stand up and cause a ruckus, but they hated to go home with Miss Jezebel. You stand up next time that preacher said. I can't tell you how many business meetings that I've been in, closed doors and all of that with a bunch of deacons. I had a whole bunch of them over at Bethel, and there's all of them around like that right there. And they'd say, preacher, we've got a problem. Now, here's what preacher, we got a problem means. It means your wife's on your tail at the house, ain't she? No, it ain't going to be my problem. But I'm telling you right now, we'd go ahead and pass whatever we were going to pass, bring it up before that body, and then have a business meeting and vote on it at church. And let me tell you what they'd do is that they'd come back the next meeting and say, hell, that ain't going to fly. I don't think that's going to work because, oh, I see your wife's not for it. Here's an idea, fellas. I know y'all are good, macho, strong men. Start sending your wife over here and let me do business with her. At least whenever it's said and done, we won't have to re-meet and change it. You know, they didn't appreciate that at all. But I left it alone because I knew that. I literally see what I'm talking about. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find out that in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, the Bible said it's a true saying that if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And then he goes on and tell you that a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, and not covetous, but one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with gravity. Then he goes on to tell you, if he don't know how to rule his own house, how's he going to be able to rule the church of God? All right, now in this lesson that we're looking at, it's the reason why God says that you are to take care of the flock that the Lord has given you as an overseer. Unto the church, and we'll hasten, but unto the church, over in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1, he says to the angel of the church at Ephesus, chapter 2, Revelation verse 8, to the one at Smyrna, chapter 2, verse 12, to the one at Pergamos, chapter 2, verse 18, to the one at Thyatira, chapter 3, verse number 1, to the one at Sardis, chapter 3, verse 7, to the one at Philadelphia, chapter 3, verse 14, of the Laodiceans. Now, he mentions seven times he that hath an ear. Chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 7, 11, 17, 29, chapter 3, verse 6, 13, and 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Bible said that when you begin to look into it, is that that none of us, Romans 14, verse 7 and 8, none of us live unto himself, and none of us are going to die unto himself. See? So the authority of the Lord that's given to the church. Why do you think that Paul the Apostle in the book of Acts there, when he was writing to Ephesus, and told about that after my departure, grievous wolves are going to come in? And I want to tell you, they won't spare the flock. So it's our responsibility to be faithful unto God, to the word of the Lord, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. When you and I were placed here, it's been a long time since I came, but I came here many moons ago. And let me just say to you that, if you will, I'm either going to leave for heaven from here, or you'll get a notice of statement, or either that of a changing letter and all that business there. There's no such thing as just floating around here or there. Were you a member of a church? Oh, I go to all of them. What you're saying is you don't believe what God and the Bible and the authority that God has given to the local church. Now, to prove to you in your own mind, if it was any other way, how in the name of God could the church at Corinth tell that man committing fornication that they're going to excommunicate him and put him out? How could they do that? I'll tell you how they've done it: by the authority and the command of the word of the Lord. Listen, do you realize and know that I don't really care if you want to drink beer, but just get out of this church if that's what you want to do. You understand that? I'm not trying to be smart or ugly. I'm just trying to tell you it's part of the covenant. It says back there on the covenant that you promised that you would abstain from the sale or use of alcohol as a beverage or so forth and on. And make no mistake about it, I've had many a person that's tried to argue me. And, well, you know, here's what they say. I don't believe it's wrong to drink a little if you don't get drunk. Okay, that's fine. Here it is in the Bible, because in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, it says you're not to even look at it, much less drink it, whenever it's red in the cup and it'll bite. See that? Now, you're going to believe God and what God said, or you're going to believe, see what I'm talking about? You'd be surprised on any given night at a restaurant or something. I never will forget whenever I first came here and the first time that I ever saw a renowned Baptist preacher drinking a martini. And I thought, well, huh. I hope he don't stagger by here in a minute and pour that on me and people go to thinking I've been drinking it. I just said all that to be able to say this. Isn't it funny how people draw their own imagination and their own conclusion apart from the word of the Lord? Now, last but not least, over there in Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 17, the Bible said the Spirit and the Bride. That's the church of the living God. Say, come. And he goes on and tells you and warns you about your need to come. You know that the Bible says, and I told you earlier, but it's Romans in chapter 14, verse 7 and 8, no man lives unto himself, no man dies unto himself. Let me tell you something, folks. You are making a change in somebody's life, either for good or for bad. See? Now, I realize I've got enough faults in and of my own, but I do not want to stand before God having been such a bad influence that I caused you to believe less about the Word of God. And there's a lot of people like that. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord. and the free pardon of sin. See? All right, let's stand to our feet, our heads about. Our Father, we thank you now for loving us even while we've been unlovable. I pray your blessings upon this congregation. And I pray you'd bless the word to every heart, right every wrong. And we'll thank you and praise you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen.